Hi everyone, you're listening to Fade Family Worship Center's podcast number 181 for July 3rd, 2011. In this week's podcast, our guest speaker, Pastor Chuck Coy, will be sharing his message titled, Lord, What Do You Want Me to Do? Enjoy.
God bless.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Well, let's just stand up just for a moment and just continue to be in that attitude of thanksgiving and just, it's amazing. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. So let's lift our hands and our voices and just thank Him just for a moment longer. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you, Father. Thank you again, Father, for just this wonderful last few days, Lord, as we've had the family camp. Thank you, as it's been prayed already, Lord, but it's good to speak it forth, Father God, with faith-filled words that the rest of our service today will be tremendously blessed, Lord. Yes. And Father, I thank you. We're blessed coming in and going out. Amen. And we're so thankful, Father. And Lord, I'm just led to pray for the kids for next week for Vacation Bible School. We thank you for Jenny and all the teachers that will speak into the hearts and the lives of the little ones, Father. You said, let the little ones come unto me, for I'll bless them. And so, Lord, I thank you that the kids next week will just have an encounter with Jesus. Amen. They'll have an encounter with your word. That revival will break forth in their hearts, that the word of God will be ministered to them, and they'll be transformed and changed, Lord. We thank you for the kids. We thank you for the youth. We thank you for this younger generation that you're raising up in this last day, in this last hour. Father, I thank you that there's an excitement and there's a zeal. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was talking with Brother Dennis just earlier as the service was getting started. And I said, it's amazing because you can really look at, summer camps. You can look at vacation Bible schools, ministers' conferences, different types of conferences and seminars, Bible school graduations. You can look at all of these events and there's always a momentum that gets started. You know, momentum is a building up. It's coming to a higher level in the things of God. And we just, those of us that were at camp the last a couple days, you witnessed in a momentum. Amen? How many of you noticed that there's a building up of the things of God in the last couple days? And so we come back and we're here on Sunday and we're excited and we've got a smile on our face and we're bubbling over with joy. And just ready to testify and ready to worship the Lord and everything's good. But then a week goes by and another week goes by and some more days go by and we come back to church and we're different. We walk in, no more smile on our face, no more joy bubbling over because we've got back into our normal everyday lifestyle. And what happens many times is we miss a revival. We miss a glorious breakthrough in the church. We miss an opportunity to see progress for the Lord. And so I encourage you all today. I know the service has been wonderful thus far. It's just going to continue to be good. But I encourage you all today, especially you campers. You have no reason not to be joyful today. You have no reason to be excited about God. You should be excited. Amen. And it's easy to clap now and it's easy to smile now. But what about tomorrow? What about next week when you go back to work and you're at the grind and you go back and you have the same problems that you left before you went to camp and you have to face them? Oh, my. We want to keep the momentum going. We need to encourage each other. We need to stay zealous. You know what zealous is? It's full of fire. Fire in my bones. Just excited about the things of God. I try to keep excited all the time. Every time I come, you don't see me not excited. I can't hardly preach and be in a service without getting just lit. Just excited. And that's healthy. That's good. What'll help us to stay excited? What'll help us to keep that momentum going? Continuing in our praise life, continuing in our worship, not just on Sunday morning, but when we wake up tomorrow morning. Not just during service times and camp times and seminar times, but when we go home to our spouse, Asawa, and our obing, our children, anak, and we stay built up and encouraged and excited. And then what happens is we'll continue to carry the momentum. Now, most of us that are here today, besides, I think, Dennis and I, everybody's from the Philippines. And you can think back home in the Philippines when the waves are coming in the seashore. There's times where the waves are just very small or even flat. There's hardly any waves at all. But then there's other times where it starts going stronger and stronger. But then typhoon season comes and the waves get big. Dakdakol. We have some big waves. What happens when big waves come in? They change everything around them. They move the shoreline. They make an impact because there's power behind those big waves. Well, I'm telling you, we have a big Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us. And over the last couple days, there's been a swelling up of the waves. And it's time for us to let those waves continue to flow so people are getting splashed with the Spirit. Amen. Everywhere you go, you're just speaking love and you're sharing your testimony and you're excited about the things of God. Amen? Amen. Well, I'll tell you, I had just one of the highlights of the camp for me. I think it was the second day I was sitting with Greg's family in the second room over there. And Jenny and the girls were there And we're having lunch together. Pastor was with us and Lolo. And he's hearing we're having the conversation. And one of the girls said, I think she was talking to me, but she was telling her mom, you know, Pastor Chuck's head's like daddy's. And I heard her say, and I said, that's right, honey. I said, my head's like daddy's head. And I was reminded when she said it, because it was so cute, I was reminded when she said that of the little placard I have in my bathroom. And this little placard sits on the backside of my stool, my little king's throne, you know, my toilet stool. And it sits on the back and it says, God made only so many perfect heads and the rest he put hair on. And so I told Greg's daughters, I don't know which one it was, I think it was your elder one, your oldest one, and she said, it was so cute. She said, do you have a picture on your placard? And I thought to myself, I'm thinking, no, it's just words, honey. But I got an idea. I'm going to take a picture of my head and set it next to the placard. And I got good insight from your little granddaughter. I was just very touched with that. But we had a wonderful time at camp, and I know that everybody that was there was blessed. It was just a great time. And I told Pastor Archie, I said it's a good sign that the camp was good when you have both of your guest speakers saying, I'll come back next year if you invite me. That's a good sign. So praise the Lord, Pastor Archie confirmed it. So get those dates to me, Jenny, Greg, as soon as possible so we can get it marked out on our calendar. And I'll do my best, we'll believe God, to bring Sister Lisa and my amazing children, my whole family, we can all be together. We were all with you at camp about 6 or 7 years ago. And it impacted my kids. They'll never forget. When they found out I was coming to Chicago with Faith Family Worship Center and going to Wisconsin to Lake Geneva for camp, they said, oh, Dad, why don't we get to go? I said, okay, kids, maybe next year. And praise God, we'll just believe God we can be with you next year. Amen? Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning. Hallelujah. I was talking with Pastor earlier that we're trying to get Bibles now organized with larger print so we don't always have to put our glasses on. I get frustrated. If you see me when I'm ministering, I'll have them on a little bit if I have to read, but then I take them off again. And I get a little bit frustrated having to have glasses, but praise the Lord, the outer body does decayeth, but the inner man is renewed day by day. So let's look and start here this morning in the book of Acts. And we're going to start off with a little story here in Acts 9. And let's start in verse 3. Acts 9 and verse 3. We've been talking during the camp, on my sessions anyway, a big part of the camp. Again, you know, Pastor had it in his heart to know Christ and to share Christ. And so last night, yesterday afternoon, Pastor Eddie ministered a message about the scripture about that we should know Christ and the power of his resurrection. You remember that? And then we finished up yesterday and we took that a little further and we had communion together to close the camp. It was just a divine order of God. It was a wonderful experience. And so I was thinking and praying earlier, and I said, Lord, do I just stay in this vein of where we've been? Because there's nothing like being led by the Holy Spirit. It's the best thing. And again, I reiterate, you know, when I went to Rhema and Bible school, Brother Hagin, who's now with the Lord for a number of years, he used to say over and over, he said, if there's one thing you get from this school, learn to be led by the Spirit. Because when you learn to be led by the Spirit, then everything else will follow and it will be good. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to kind of stay in this vein, but another sidetrack of it, another angle of it. And so let's look at this story in Acts 9. And verse 3, talking about the Apostle Paul. He wasn't Paul yet. He was known as someone else at that time. He was known as a persecutor, went by the name of Saul of Tarsus, that persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, condemned them, spoke hard about them, got Christians put in jail, so on and so forth. And here he is, and he's heading toward Damascus from Jerusalem. And as he journeyed in verse 3, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Verse 6, so he trembled and astonished said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We approach it with reverence and honor and respect. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, whom will lead us and guide us into all truths, and who will cause us to walk in victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph and walk in victory. Now, Father, we just thank you for truth impartations and grace deposits today. Open our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Open our eyes to see what the Lord is showing us. Open our hearts for that revelation knowledge to come in. We give you the honor and glory and praise, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now picture with me a moment. I'm gonna read through this the rest of the story in just a second. But picture with me here this incident that happened on this roadside going to Damascus from Jerusalem is Saul of Tarsus, and he's been persecuting. Were any of you, before you got saved, did you persecute the church? Any of you? I remember before I got saved, I used to run into people that were born again, and I'd say, oh, those Jesus freaks. And I'd say, oh, those religious people. And I think that probably all of us, at one point in our life, we probably said some negative things about the body of Christ. We might have even thrown rocks at them. Hello, you don't have to raise your hand if you threw rocks. But Saul of Tarsus, he was a heavy persecutor of the body of Christ. Now here he is, he's going along the roadside, and the Bible says, suddenly. Anytime I read that word suddenly in the Bible, I think of something that happened very fast. Didn't mean to startle you, sister. She's like, oh, my heart. Hallelujah. But something about that word suddenly, I mean, God showed up. And I mean, this man, Saul of Tarsus, was blinded by the light because he was in the presence of Jesus. And he hollered out and he said, who is this? And the Lord says, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. But notice in this immediate encounter with God, one of the first things that Saul of Tarsus says, once he asks who this is, he says, what do you want me to do? How many times do we come to a place in our life where we should be saying, Lord, what should I do? What do you want me to do? Because so many times we end up doing it our way and we miss out on doing it God's way. Hello? I'm going to say that one more time because only one person said, yep, that's right, Sister Lucy. How many times in our lives do we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your way and not my way? So many times we do it the way we want to do it. Because we're used to doing things our way. Because our favorite song is Elvis Presley's, I did it my way, and now. I can't sing as good as Pastor Archie, but I make a joyful noise. No, God wants us to come to those places in our lives where we're crying out to Him, Lord, what should I do here? What do you want me to do? We'll have crossroads in our lives. We'll have things that happen in our lives. But how many times do we take that opportunity to say, Lord, what should I do? See, this is a part of yielding to the greater one that lives on the inside of us. This is a part of being led by the Holy Spirit. Saying, Lord, what should I do? Instead of, I think I'll do it this way. Hello? I wrote down, I heard here recently a message back in Tulsa with Pastor Mark Brzee, and he was talking about divine assignment. Divine assignment. And anytime I hear that word divine, it's heavenly. It's the Lord's. So there's divine relationships, and there's divine services, and there's, everything that God has, it's divine. It's heavenly. It's right. It's good. It's the will of God. And so Pastor Mark was talking about these divine assignments. And after the service, I went home and I said, Lord, what's my divine assignment? Have any of you ever asked that question? Lord, what am I called to do? Lord, what's my part? Lord, how do you want to use me? See, all of these questions, they're good questions because we're yielding to be an open and led, directed by, we're putting our trust in God. Amen. And so I sat down after that service, Pastor, and I said, Lord, what's my divine assignment here? I know I'm a missionary, and I know I'm called. And so I asked him that question. The next thing you know, I had a pen of a ready writer in my hand. Matter of fact, I got a pen out of your office here and borrowed it. I hope I can take this one home because there. It's got a light. I like that. This is a Holy Ghost pen. It shines. I started writing and my pen, it lit up. And it was like a pen of a ready writer. And all I did was ask the Lord, what's my divine assignment? And I just started writing down. And seven different things I wrote down. And I just share this with you, and I'm not saying, you know, that yours is going to be the same like this, but sometimes we need to ask and inquire of the Lord. We're beating our head up against the wall trying to get answers and solutions and answers to our prayers and breakthroughs in areas of our life, but we're not taking time to pray. We're not taking time to be led of the Spirit. How are you led of the Spirit? How can you draw out that counsel that's on the inside? By praying, by talking with the Lord. How many of you talk with the Lord? Okay, some of you are looking, waiting to see if you're... How many of you talk with the Lord? Okay, everybody's raising their hand. Now, let me ask you another question. How many of you, the Lord talks to you? Whoops, I only see not as many hands went up. Should be all of us. Listen, if you're talking to the Lord and doing all the talking, you're a person that knows only so much. Talking to a God that knows everything, it may be if you're doing all the talking, you need to start listening a little bit. Because God knows everything. Amen. Hello? I think I said that during the camp also. It's worth repeating. It's good to talk to the Lord. We need to talk to the Lord. But we also need to hear His voice and listen. Amen. Because there's a lot of voices out there. And there's a lot of voices that try to get in our head. You know, the voices that are mostly getting in your head are the voices that you hear through what you see and what you're listening to. If you're a constant TV, 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 watching TV, TV, you're addicted to television. Hello. You'll wake up in the middle of the night hearing those same voices because that's part of your psyche and it leaves an impression. You'll have dreams about the movies you've seen. Hello. We need to be listening and watching the right things. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's my divine assignment? And the first thing that came to me was training with Brother Reb all those years ago. You know, it was like an Elijah and Elisha. I was in his shadow. I would spy on him. During the times that he does his devotion, I would be hiding there on Boracay Island and in the Visayas behind the bushes. He wouldn't know I was there. Maybe he knew I was there. But I didn't think he knew I was there. And he was on his front porch of his Nipa hut, his cottage. And he was praying and talking to the Lord. And I would hide and I would listen to him. Because I knew that this man had something that I wanted. I was so hungry to grow and to get a hold of the things of God. And here was this elderly gentleman that was full of the Word and full of the Holy Spirit. And God put me right into his life. And I was there. His wife would, Sister Linda, would shoo me away sometimes because I'd follow him to his house. And she'd say, Brother Chuck, you go back to the compound. I want to have some dinner with my husband. You're always with him. But see, if you follow the story of Elijah and Elijah, the younger one was always with the older one. There are some of you guys that are here today. You have opportunity to be around Pastor Archie and some of the other leaders and elders in the church, and you're getting so busy you don't take the opportunity. You're missing a big blessing. And so the Lord said, training with Brother Reb was your first assignment. Second assignment, the Lord spoke to me when I was at Faith Village. Here I am going to Bible school, and I'm about done with Bible school, and the Lord speaks to me, go to Bible school. Wait a minute. Did you hear what I just said? I'm going to Bible school, Faith Village Bible Training Center on Boracay Island. I'm a student. This is 1987. And I'm just getting ready to graduate from Bible school, 3-month Bible school, 5 days a week. Training after school, I mean, 24/7, we were doing stuff. I mean, it was a very intense, wonderful Bible school. And I'm getting ready to graduate, and the Lord says, go to Bible school at Rhema. I said, at Rhema? Lord, I don't even know what Rhema is, let alone where it's at and who has it and all of those. I knew I had heard because Brother Reb had, you know, books in the Bible school library of Kenneth E. Hagin, and I had read some of the books and many other books. I had known, but I didn't know anybody in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'd never been there before. I was an Illinois boy. from Springfield, Abraham Lincoln country. Long story short, I ended up definitely obeying God because the Lord said. See, there's times that we can look in our life, if we're not for sure what we're supposed to be doing, we need to go back and reflect on what have we done before. Think about the times that you know God has spoken to you, whether it's directly to your spirit, through the pastor, through a message, through your children, through an evangelist on television. I know that I've got notebooks full where the Lord has spoken certain things to me. And what happens many times when God's speaking, you don't always have access to the same notebook because you're on the other side of the world. So you make a note of it in the back of your Bible. And then you make a note of it for me. I get another notebook. I've got things written down in numerous notebooks and numerous Bibles. And what I really need to do is get all of them together and record that into one and try to get a timeline. But I just asked the Lord, what's my divine assignment? And he said, training with Brother Reb, go to Rhema, help establish KKMI, which was my father-in-law's ministry. And that was the next season after I graduated from Rhema. We moved back to the Philippines, and there we are helping my father-in-law in the ministry for a season. And then launched BMVTC, which was Baguio Mighty Valor Training Center, through the ministry that the Lord put in our heart to get these Bible schools going. And then the Lord spoke to us to, you know, after we'd been in the Philippines all those years, to move back to Tulsa again. When I left Tulsa the first time in 1991, Sister Lisa and I are driving out of town, and I told her, I said, I'll never come back to Tulsa to live. Listen, you might say things that you'll never do, and then the Lord says, do it. Have anybody ever had that happen to them? You said, I'll never do that. And then the Lord says, that's what you need to do. Or I'll never live there. And the next thing that happens, the Lord says, I want you to live where you said you'll never live. You see, God wants our heart. He wants us to be led by Him. He wants us to put our trust in Him. And so then my next divine assignment was to move back to Tulsa and help Russ set up the International Missionary Center. So we did that for a season. And then we were asked by my father-in-law again to come to take over the responsibility of the international coordination of the ministry, to be the international coordinator. So we help establish the mission side of KKM. And then the seventh one was God birthed in our heart here just a few years ago, Agape World Missions. And now we're in the process of establishing and setting up what we call ministry hubs. We have these ministry hubs on four continents now. And when the Lord spoke this to me, I remember when he spoke to me, Israel. I said, oh Lord, I've never even been to Israel. And the Lord said, that'll be the first hub that you establish. And then you'll establish the other ones. And so we were in Cyprus, and we're preaching and ministering. And one of my students from the school back in Tulsa where I was teaching the mission school, he got a hold of me. He said, Pastor Chuck, can you go to Israel? I have a pastor that wants you to come. Will you come? And I told him, I said, yes, if I'm invited, I will go. And then the first trip we went in, God spoke to us and he said, I'll open a door that no man can close. And sure enough, God has opened a door in Israel. I was sharing with Pastor earlier some of the things that are going on. When I was here last time, remember I was here with Brother Andy. We were on our way to Israel. We were there 3 weeks. Again, the Lord did amazing things. Now, here I am again with you, and we're getting ready to head back to Israel again in just a few weeks. And so the first trip, God said, I'll open a door that no man can close. The second trip, God give us a ministry plan, a three-part ministry plan. The first one being prayer in this divine order. Secondly, missions. And thirdly, Holy Land experience. And to establish a presence for the ministry. And then the third trip, Sister Lise and I, we're in Israel and we're following the best that we know how. And we're in Jerusalem at the time and we're staying in an inn. And all of a sudden in the middle of the night, Lisa gets caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ above the Mount of Olives and has a vision and an encounter with God. And God speaks to her right there in the Holy Land. You might say, well, Pastor Chuck, none of these things have ever happened to me. Listen, I'm sharing this with you because God works in unique, different ways in each of our lives. And sometimes it's just a little impression, or we might have a little mini vision, or we might have that still small voice of the Spirit begin to speak to us. Notice here, you know, Paul of Tarsus, he has this encounter and he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus says, arise and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Sometimes we're looking for direction in our lives and God is endeavoring to teach us something. Sometimes you can have direction of the Spirit of God to do something, but it's the wrong time. Let me say that again. Sometimes you know God's leading you and he's showing you something. And then immediately you try to do it and you're like, something's not right here. It may be premature. It may not be the right time. How many of you have ever done laundry and you got into the dryer to get some socks and you put the socks on and you put your shoes on and you're walking and you're like, wait a minute, something doesn't feel right. Your socks aren't all the way dry. They're a little damp, just a little bit. Kunti, basit lang. They're just a little bit moist. Have any of you ever had moist socks on? It's not good. Dennis is the only honest one. I'm just joking. I've had moist socks on. Or you hung them out to dry and you got in a rush and they didn't have enough sunlight, and you put those socks on, and you put your shoes on, and you started walking, and you're thinking, oh, it's, yeah, it doesn't feel right. Your socks are still wet. Now, they may be almost dry, but not all the way dry. I give that as kind of one illustration. It's kind of a funny illustration, but there's times where God shows us something, and we start to do it, but then we're like, something's not right here. This is not quite dry. I need to put these socks back in the dryer. I need to hang them back up on the clothesline. Find a pair of dry socks, and you put on, then you feel better. And there's times in our life where we may think that we're supposed to be doing something, and maybe it is what we're supposed to do, but maybe the timing is off a little bit. Or we may be going down one direction, but then as we're going down that direction, we're like, this is not quite right. So we have to back up, and we have to go the other direction. And then we go, and we're like, this feels much better. I have peace now. This is good. See, that's simply being led by the Holy Spirit. That's simply being led by the Holy Spirit. You can be going one direction and say, this isn't quite right. I always say this, and I've learned this to be true. If it's not quite right, it's not right. If it's not quite right, it's not right. And I said that during the camp. But also, where God guides, he provides. Did you know if you're being led by the Spirit in your finances? Pastor and I talked a little bit. You know, sometimes guys get carried away with messages on prosperity. But sometimes guys get carried away with messages in other areas, and each have their forte in their season of ministering certain subjects, and that's all good. But you can tell when people are going into the ditch. Too much is too much. But listen, if you're led by the Spirit in your finances, then you can truly say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you always have an abundance and more than enough to share and to give and help others and to give, you know, for the church and evangelism. Matter of fact, there's a project here at the church soon with the plumbing. pastor's checked into it, and it's going to, you know, this plumbing's over a half a century old. I know about it. We had to change the plumbing in the ministry flat in Israel. And it all had to be ripped out because it was rusting and it was bad, and things were starting to back up, and you don't want your sewer to back up. You know what happens when sewers back up? You have problems. I told the joke yesterday about the guy, you know, doing the funeral service over the septic tank. You had to be there for that. But listen, there's going to be, I mean, there are needs around us all the time, folks. Don't misunderstand me. There's going to be, there'll continue to be, the world is needy. And a lot of members in the body of Christ are very needy. I'd rather, instead of being a needy one, I'd rather be one that has more than enough. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can be. That's what's amazing, is you can be one with more than enough because you have a God that's more than enough. You don't have a God that's needy. God isn't saying, oh, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do today? I mean, we don't have enough to get to these guys. No, no, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and gold is His. I mean, God has it all. He made it all. Yes. The streets in His home place are made out of gold. Amen. It's good to have a little gold now in your portfolio. And silver and platinum, and because the price has gone way up on this stuff. But listen, you can have a bar of gold. You know, these bars are, what are they? The standard silver bars, I think it's 100 ounces. Now, you can get 5 ounce, but have you ever held a 100 ounce bar of a metal? 100 ounces, it's chunky, it's heavy. But when you hold a 1,000-ouncer, I've held them. Not gold, but silver. 1,000-ounce bar of silver. I can't even hardly lift it, Pastor. It's that heavy. 1,000 ounces. 100 ounces is a good one. But listen, I'm telling you that because that to God is nothing. He has it all. He made it all. And yet we're going around, oh, Lord, help me, I don't have enough to pay my mortgage. Oh, Lord, help me, I don't have enough to pay my bills. And that you may be in that situation. But here's what I'm here to tell you today. And I speak to myself just as much as I speak to you. If you're led by the Holy Spirit in your finances, and you're really led by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be lacking. You're not going to be lacking. Now we raise our hand, we say, praise God, that's good preaching, I'll receive that, hallelujah. Well, the next time during the offering, receive what the Lord tells you to do. Instead of the 50 cents, or instead of the dollar, He's saying, put the 20 in, or write a check. You know, you're just putting one number on your check. The Lord said, no, I want two zeros instead of one, or three zeros. Amen. Hello? Yes. Now, brother, you're stepping on my feet. Now, well, move your feet. Brother, you're offending me. Now, I'm just telling you, you want to be led by the Holy Spirit in your finances, then hear what God's telling you to do when it comes and it concerns giving. You have some people complaining about finances all the time, how finances are taken care of in the church. Usually those complainers like that, they're not tithers. Most of the time. Yeah, we hear ouch and we hear preach it. I hear Pastor and Sister Lolette. Yeah, that's right. I know that. Sister Lolette doesn't know. But listen, you'll be blessed when you tithe. You want to be led by the Spirit in your finances? Listen, I'll give you a little secret. I've even shared this secret with you already. I don't know if you remember, but I learned this from the Lord directly. Financial wisdom and financial success. Would you like to know? These are nuggets. I mean, I'm not going to charge you anything. You go to a conference with a big name speaker, you got to pay $5,000 for the conference just to get the knowledge is your greatest asset. Knowledge. I mean, if you knew what, you know, Bill Gates and you know, some of these other multimillionaires knew, then you wouldn't be driving, you know, a bicycle. Now, bicycles are okay to have an exercise on, but you'd have a nice set of wheels. Hear my heart. Hear what I'm saying. Oh, I better talk about something else, I guess. Would you like to know? Amen. I have shared it already. Financial wisdom is simply doing what God has told you to do with the finances that you have. And financial success is basically the same thing. Success is not how much we have or how many homes or how much money we have in our bank account. Success is simply being in the center of God's will. So financial success is simply doing the will of God with the finances that you have. And if you'll obey God in your tithing and obey God in how He leads you to give, listen to me, church, you will not be struggling when it comes to finances. Now, Pastor Chuck, are you at that point? I'm trying to get there. Have I missed it? Yes, I've missed it. Because I was supposed to give more. Hello? Are you hearing me? But we're talking about, Lord, what do you want me to do? How many times when Pastor gets up or Brother June gets up, today it was Craig got up and he exhorted for our tithes and offerings. First of all, how many times when Pastor gets up and said, okay, it's that very special time of the service, it's time for tithes and offerings. How many of you jump up and get excited and praise God and hoot and holler? Usually you can hear a pin drop. Everybody gets quiet. No, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. You can't be, if you're going to the basketball, what's the Chicago Bulls? When you go and you're in person at the basketball game with the Chicago Bulls and they get a slam dunk, you don't sit there going, because that's what most people look like during tithes and offering. Crossing their eyes, oh, Pastor, getting our money again. Oh, he's trying to get in my pocket, honey. No. Bless God. God loves a cheerful giver. Yay! Hallelujah! The Bulls scored another point. You have a wave. How many of you have waves at church when it's tithes and offering time? You know the waves where everybody... getting excited about the things of God. See, if you're a faithful tither and you're a cheerful giver, you're being led by the Holy Spirit in your giving. And you'll be led by the Holy Spirit in your receiving. And God will lead you in places of abundance and prosperity. Now that's good preaching, I know. But listen here. Look what happened after the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Verse 8, then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Well, God told him. He said, go to the city. He said, go to the city, and it'll be told you what to do. So here he is. He's been struck blind. He's had an encounter with God. He's had a conversation with God. And the last thing that Saul says is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God says, go to the city and it'll be told you what you're to do. Next thing you know, I mean, he's blind and he's got the guys with him and they take him by his hand because he can't see. And guess where he goes? Into the city. So many times God tells us something to do, and we're like a blind man. Okay, which way? No. Listen, it doesn't say that he started walking back toward Jerusalem. It says that someone there took him by the hand, and he went into the city where God told him to go. even though he was blind. See, this is where our trust in God must come in. This is where our dependency, or you could say it this way, leaning on the Holy Spirit. If I'm about ready to fall down and Pastor's standing in front of me, at least I can lean on him and not fall. See, you can lean on the Holy Ghost anytime, day and night, and he'll help you not to fall. Amen. Matter of fact, if you're leaning on the Holy Spirit, you feel like you're going to fall, you're tripping around, you can reach out your hand and he'll take your hand. Amen. And he'll lead you by the wayside. And so these guys, they took Paul, they led him into Damascus. Notice what happens here. Verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate or drank. There's something about having an encounter with God. There's something about having running into the presence of God where you're so excited and so overflowing. Many of you during the camp in the last couple days, you got touched by God. What did Paul do? He'd had an encounter with God. He fasted. Now, many times when we see the word fasted in the Bible, it's talking about an attitude of prayer. It's talking about being serious. What's happened to me? What God has said? This encounter, I take it serious. And for 3 days, the Bible records that Paul fasted. He was shook up. He'd been in direct contact with Jesus of Nazareth. He'd run into God. How many of you, after camp, you're going to fast and pray for 3 days? Hallelujah. Sister Lolit said amen. The rest of you are looking at me like, honey, what did he just say? He fasted and prayed. 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now this isn't the Ananias that, you know, in Sapphira story. And to him the Lord said in a vision. So Ananias, at the same time this is happening to Saul of Tarsus, Ananias is speaking to this other Christian, disciple of Christ, in a vision. And he said, Ananias, and Ananias said, here I am, Lord. How many times has the Lord woke you up in the middle of the night and put Pastor and Sister Lolette on your heart? Or put Brother Chuck when I was over in Jordan, this last trip we were in Jordan, scouting out the land. And it's a whole different ballgame in a Muslim country. Those of you that have been to Saudi Arabia and other places, you know it's a different ballgame. You can't go to churches openly like what you can do here. You can't go out on the street and evangelize and do street witnessing and hand out Bibles. You have to be very careful or you get thrown out on your head. And so we had to stay under the radar. I know there's times where God wakes me up to pray for someone else, usually my partners or other missionaries a lot of times. And I can either roll over and go back to sleep, or I can really pray and intercede for them. But how many times has God woken us up? Here, Ananias, he has an encounter with the Lord. He has a vision. And Ananias, the first thing he says, here I am, Lord. I think of the prophet of old said, here I am, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Here I am. We must, if we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, make ourselves available. Make yourself available. If God wakes you up to pray for someone, get up and pray for them. Say, here I am, Lord, and start praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And you'll be amazed at how God will speak to you and direct you. Ananias, he said, here I am. Verse 11, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. Now God's leading Ananias now through a vision. He said to him, you know, basically Ananias says, here I am, Lord. And basically what the Lord says to him is he says, get out of bed. Get up. I mean, there's times in the morning where I'll normally sleep till 6:30, 6:45. If I sleep till 7, 7:30, that's late already. But there's times at 5 o'clock, sometimes 4 in the morning, and I'll wake up and I'm wide awake. I'm like, Lord, is this the coffee? Is this because I had a long siesta? Or is this you? Here I am, Lord. And there's times where I know it's the Lord, and I need to have enough spiritual sense that I've got to get up out of bed, not because the guy next to me is snoring. Dennis learned about that. Actually, June learned about it. I actually heard from a lot of you guys. You learned about snoring this weekend. My father-in-law is one of the loudest snorers in the world. And I've just learned, God, help me, put me in a deep sleep. Sometimes he answers that prayer, sometimes he doesn't. Now, I can't complain too much. I know if I'm real tired, I snore, my wife says, you know, a little bit, but I'm not a deep, heavy snorer. But, we could tell other jokes about that, but we're not going to go there. But we're talking about getting up earlier than we normally would if the Lord's prompting us and saying, come on, I want you to come. I want to talk to you. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to pray. Or you wake up wee hours in the morning and you have someone on your heart. You're thinking about that person. You've been dreaming about that person. Or you wake up with an impression of that person. A lot of times the Lord's just nudging you, gently saying, I've put that person on your heart so you can pray for them. I thank God I have friends and partners and pastors and different people that have obeyed God and prayed for me, because there's times where my life has been spared over and over again because I know somebody was praying. Hello? Amen. See, we're talking about being led by the Spirit here. We're talking about saying, Lord, here I am. We're talking about, Lord, what do you want me to do? So the Lord says to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. God will give you specifics. Sometimes it's vague or it's not real, but there's other times where it's very specific, and this was very specific. He says, inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Now, we know Saul for 3 days has been fasting, and here's the scripture that says he was praying. I mean, if you're blind, you'd be praying too. Hello? If your leg's been chopped off, you'd probably be praying. In verse 12, and in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Wow. This is, we think about these scriptures, and we're like, Lord, this doesn't happen to me. It can happen to you if you make yourself available, if you're learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. Notice what happens in verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Then verse 15, notice, but the Lord said. See, here's what happens sometimes in our lives. God begins to give us direction, and he tells us specifics, what we're to do, but then we start hearing from other believers, you don't know about that person, or, oh, you shouldn't go there, because don't you know what happened over there when brother so-and-so went there, or, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you hear this stuff, and here Ananias was, and he's starting to hear this stuff about, oh, this bad man, Saul of Tarsus. Don't you know that the chief priests have given him authority to bind us Christians and put us in chains? See, Ananias is already thinking about what he's heard about Saul of Tarsus. And yet God knew everything. He knew what Ananias didn't know. He knew what others didn't know because God had preordained. God had a plan for this mean, persecuting, sinful man that was being mean to the body of Christ. God had a plan for him. And God ended up calling Saul of Tarsus, who became known, we call him today, as the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest disciples of Christ, ministers of the gospel that ever lived, wrote by the Spirit of God, appointed and anointed to write down 2/3 of the New Testament Bible that we read today. He was a persecutor of the body of Christ. He was mean. He was unsaved. And he run in to Jesus on the roadside to Damascus and miraculously got born again and got a call upon his life. But it took other Christians obeying God and being led by the Spirit for that to happen to Paul. Wow. This is amazing. I was telling you, you know, I told you when God opened the door for us at Israel and he said, you know, I'm going to open a door that no man can close. And then he gave us this plan, and then to establish a presence, there was another thing that he said. And then in the third trip, Sister Lisa has a very encounter with Christ above the Mount of Olives, the Lord speaking to her in a white robe with purple sashes. She saw him. And the Lord told her as she was in that trance, she's physically lying in bed in an inn with her husband. But spiritually, she's standing above the Mount of Olives with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God's given her instructions. She sees him. She stood next to him. She heard him speak. She saw what he had on. And he said, right now at this very moment, I'm appearing before thousands of Jews and Muslims that they're having encounters with me. And they're getting a desire in their heart to come to me. Wow. Hallelujah. And the fourth trip was to establish the presence and buy this ministry flat so we could begin to do training with Messianic Russian Jews. And then the next trip was to launch a Filipino church. And then the next time in, just recently here last year with Andy and ministering in that time, we're getting ready to go again. I've shared this all with you, and I just wrote this down earlier as I was preparing, because God will direct us by his Spirit, and he'll give each of us what I call a divine assignment. But in getting ready to close, and I know my time is running short, in verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Talking about Paul, he's speaking to Ananias, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now notice just the few verses before that. Ananias is already questioning, this man, Saul, is bad. Are you sure, Lord, that's what you want me to do? And the Lord says, go. For he is a chosen vessel to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Uh-oh. Now, normally, I would close on a real high note, but I have to dip down a little bit here. I have to dip down because we have to understand, when God leads us by his Spirit, many times we think that everything is just going to be just fine and easy. Hello? Let me say that again. When God leads us by his Spirit, many times we think that everything's just going to be very easy, no problems, no difficult times will come. Listen. You can look at every book of the Bible and every one of our forefathers. Hebrews 12 is a hall of fame of those of great faith. And it says, you know, that they were persecuted and they were stoned and women, you know, lost their husbands and men were sawed in half and people were killed. If you look at all of the Gospels in the Old Testament, the New Testament, there were challenges. There were hard times. There were difficult times. And you know what? God led them through the fire. He led them through the waters. He led them through the difficult times. And they come out on the other side victorious. Amen. The key, well, there's so many keys. But one of the keys in being led by the Holy Spirit is following peace. Following your heart. You know, I've talked about this during the camp, and I've shared again today, and this is just another little piece of the nuggets that God has put in my heart on concerning being led by the Holy Spirit. But listen, Pastor Archie and Sister Lolette, I've just scratched the surface. I've basically, in the last 3 days, have just done an introduction of being led by the Spirit. I haven't really gone in deep, but I'm telling you, there's so much more that we can learn in how to be led by the Spirit. And friends, I'm here to tell you today, if you can master, if you can be a good student of the Holy Ghost, a good student of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the master being led by the Spirit, yes, you might go through hard times. Yes, there might be trouble around the next corner, but I'm telling you, you're going to have the answer. You're going to have the solution. You're going to get the breakthrough. There's going to be victory. You're going to go from victory to victory and glory to glory. But in going from victory to victory and glory to glory, there may be obstacles in the middle. There may be mountains in the middle. But Jesus said, don't be moved by the mountains. Speak to the mountain, and the mountain will be removed and cast into the sea. I know I've gone a little bit over my time today, but I encourage you, in the first things that I said to you in the camp, and I'll make it the last thing that I say today, learn. Have a hunger and a great desire. I challenge you with this. It's so important. Learn. Have a hunger and a great desire to be led by the Spirit. Because those that are led by the Spirit are the sons and the daughters of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Go ahead, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. It's always such a delight, Pastor Archie and Sister Lolette and the congregation, the leadership, and I love my dear friends, you know, Roger, Brother Roger and Sister Lucy. It's always so good. I know you weren't able to make it, but I'm so glad I got to see you. I'm just so blessed every time I get to be with Faith Family Worship Center. It's my honor. It's my blessing. And every time I get to spend time with you, I go away a better person. I go away inspired. And you can tell already, and Dennis is learning real quick, you know, I love Filipinos. Amen. My wife is Filipino. I so much love all of you. I love being with you. I love eating the food that you make. You can tell I eat plenty of it. But you know what? We have relationship. You know, Sister Lisa and I, we feel so close to Pastor Archie and Sister Lolette and the congregation here. We feel so close to you, and you're our Chicago spiritual family. Amen. You know, Pastor said earlier, do you have another schedule, Pastor Chuck, because I want to be sensitive. I said, no, Pastor, I'm here for you. Yeah, there's some times where I have other schedules, and that's okay, but it's good that we have times like this, because God helps to establish that divine relationship and bring it to another level. And my prayer for you and for pastors and for the church here is that you will continue to learn to be led by the Spirit. And when you do, you'll be amazed. Some of the prayers that you've prayed in the past that haven't been answered, they'll come to pass because you're learning to be more sensitive of what God wants you to do, what God wants you to say, how God wants you to make that choice, where He's wanting to take you and send you and prepare. But be open to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's your plan? What's your will? There's so many keys of being led by the Spirit. Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can walk out the will of God. Don't marry the world. Don't get entangled. I, again, talked with the young men earlier. Don't get entangled to the ways of the world, because when you get all caught up and you become a very carnal, worldly Christian, you're in ought with God. You're fighting against God. But give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to the things of God, praying and being a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Give yourself to the Lord and find yourself a faithful studier of the word, meditating upon the word. And as you do that, all of these things will help you to do Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel has been set in our heart. Like deep waters, a man of understanding will draw it out. And he'll get direction. And God will speak to him. And God will show him. And he'll walk out the ways and the plans of God. I don't have time to get to it. I shared it with Pastor earlier. But even over in Job, it talks about, you know, there's wisdom. In Proverbs, it talks about wisdom in a multitude of counsel. But then in Job, it says that, you know, if you're an old person, you should be given some pretty good counsel and advice. But then it says that the Spirit has been set in the heart of man, and he'll have understanding. And the next verse talks about, not, this is my paraphrase. And the next verse talks about, in Job, he says, you have to be wise, because not every old person has great wisdom and will steer you in the wrong direction. Now, it should be that when we're older, especially spiritually, that we're able to help people. And counsel is okay to get counsel. Matter of fact, multitude of counsel is okay. You need to know what your options are. Talk to others that have been there and done that. But listen, once you know by the Spirit of God what God is saying to you, he's given you the direction, he's told you to do this, he's told you to go there, he's told you to say this, and you know that you know that you know that this is from the Spirit of God, don't concur with flesh anymore. Don't get counsel from your mother or your brother or you know, the 95-year-old man, because everybody will tell you a little bit different, something else, and you'll be confused again. Once you know, God has given that treasure and that direction and that leading in your heart. Guard it and protect and do what the Lord has told you to do. No matter what the cost, no matter what the opposition, just stick with it. And God will bless. And he'll give you the breakthrough. Don't keep running around getting more. So many times we're thinking for an easy fix, a quick answer. And so we're asking everybody else and we forget to ask the Lord. The title of this message today, Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen? Amen. God bless you. Pastor Archie. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your goodness and loving kindness to follow us all the days of our life. Father, I thank you for Pastor Archie and Sister Lolette and Faith Family Worship Center. May they continue to be blessed above all things. May they prosper and be in health as their soul prospers. Bless them indeed, Lord. Expand their territory. That your hand be upon them all. And that you keep them from evil. And Father, I thank you that this ministry will continue to be blessed and to be led by your Spirit. And Father, we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.
And that was Pastor Chuck Coy on his sermon titled, Lord, What Do You Want Me to Do? If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. You can find us online. Our address is www.ffwc.com. And you can reach us through email, which is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.